On average, it takes about 30 days for a person to break their New Year's resolution. So if saving money was on your 2024 list, your odds aren't looking that great. Luckily, I have a 100% guaranteed way to save you money this year. Just switch to Mint Mobile. For a limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk, text, and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get premium wireless service for just $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/WCB. That's mintmobile.com/WCB. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/WCB. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water?
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thing.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
Save on Tide at Target with a Target gift card. Restrictions apply. Terms and conditions apply to gift cards. For details, go to help.target.com/help.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, we're going to talk about predators in the garden. Now, I know you're thinking it's still winter, but a lot of you guys are thinking about how do I plan out my garden this spring? How am I going to keep it safe? And now's the time to be gathering information, because when it's garden season, you're going to be like, wait, I can't be watching YouTube. I need to be out in the garden actually doing stuff. So this is your opportunity. That's the bonus there. So anyway, predators in the garden. We're going to talk about all kinds of predators that might get in your garden and the different things that you can do about it.
Yeah. Now Kevin, when I looked this up, I started doing some research, started taking some notes, and I got a page full before I realized that I was on some British web page, and they were just talking about their yard. Their garden is their yard. They're talking about people stealing their lawnmowers and stuff. So
predator.
Yeah, it's called the vegetable patch in England.
Veggie patch.
That's what we're talking about. If you're in England, that's what we're talking about, your vegetable patch.
That's the one that Peter Rabbit's always trying to get in.
Mm-hmm. What do we do about Peter Rabbit?
Right, got to keep that guy out of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Peter Rabbit in the garden. First thing, the obvious that always comes to mind is maybe you put up a fence.
Yes.
What do you know about a fence for your garden, Kevin? What are you thinking?
Well, I personally like to use the quarter inch welded wire fencing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've got that in most places. I used chicken wire on my first garden, and that worked fine, but that welded wire seems a little bit sturdier. The thing is, you got to get that wire into the ground. You know what I mean? They'll tunnel right underneath that stuff. You have to bury it like 3 to 6 inches down.
Yeah, I think that's been like enough. It's just enough to kind of, hey, you tried. Nope. See, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I always was worried, you know, rabbits, groundhogs, they can obviously dig pretty deep. But I think I would shoot for like 6 inches all around. But I think you're right. I think realistically 3 to 6 seems to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people use chain link. That's a less expensive way to go when you're doing a big piece of property. But it's big enough that most of the things that you're trying to keep out can get through.
Right. So what I did, I was worried about deer. And so I bought a fence, mm-hmm. and I went all the way around, which has smaller openings on the bottom and then bigger as it goes up.
Right, as it goes up.
But they're still not that small.
What I did then was I dug the trench and I put in, they call it rabbit fence. And I think they sell 24 inch and then 36 inch. And I went with 36 inch. So it's maybe 30 inches up is the rabbit fence, you know, all the way around with 6 inches buried. And then I had the large, you know, the cattle fence got me some height. Then because I'm cheap and it kind of works. What I did is I bought electric fence wire and I ran it around the garden.
Right.
And with that, I didn't actually electrify it though. I just put them close enough for that top little bit. And occasionally deer run and kind of jump through it and rip it apart. And
make problems. I mean, they can jump pretty high when it comes down to it, if they really want to get somewhere, but.
Well, mine do go 8 feet tall. It's just a matter of they don't see it and they rip down. I've seen people tie the little flags on it, you know, so you don't put, you know, just, I don't know, like a little ribbon or whatever along the way.
Right, so it can make it visible, be visible.
Right, right. That's definitely a way to go. But guess now, what? Yeah, fences don't always work.
Yeah, well, one benefit of fences is that you can let your animals out in the fences. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I'll put my dogs in the garden.
Right.
You know, and that'll deter almost everything, birds, you know, any kind of animal. It's not going to go after, you know, the dogs don't go after bugs or insects or anything like that, but anything like a woodchuck, a rabbit, they're not interested in coming in. Now we're going to talk later on about plants to deter. And let me tell you something. I tried catnip to encourage the cat to be around the garden, but it just turns out that when you're pulling weeds, you put your hand in the cat shit because
you do.
Cat shit, right?
Cats suck like that.
Yeah, they're assholes, right? They always have been. Historical. It's just a some fact of life.
Yeah.
All right. After fences. What do we? What's another option here?
All right. So another way to go is, let's say visual things. All right. So people talk about putting like they have the fake owls or fake birds that you put up around, and it kind of gives that, you know. I've also seen where they have like some kind of like strobe lights and things like that that you can drop in there. I looked up on Amazon. There were all kinds of stuff, like Night Guard Solar was one that I looked at. And basically, when the motion sensor is triggered, you know, it ends up kind of doing a little strobe light action, which, I mean, I've seen that kind of thing spook deer and stuff like that, but I don't know. Not exactly the best solution.
Yeah, I mean, I have some motion-activated solar lights, and they're kind of like floodlights, and they're big. I don't know if they actually work or not. You know, be honest with you, I haven't really seen much change other than in the middle of the night. Sometimes I'll be woken up with floodlights shining through my windows and
no, that's I wish I was cops, just sleeping. Kevin.
I live in a bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
I also saw some, I don't know if this is effective in any way, but I also saw some solar lights that light up like red, scary eyes, you know?
Ooh.
Like angry it face.
Scares you, right?
Right. I don't know how effective that is with, you know, I mean, the truth is most animals that are in your garden trying to eat your vegetables aren't coming in the middle of the night, though. You know what I mean? You might get some deer early in the morning or late in the evening, but other than that, it's really not, you know, it's more of a daytime thing for the vegetables. What do you...
Well, hang on. So I would also say scarecrows.
Scarecrows, right. That's that's one that's been hundreds of years they've been doing that.
Right. But remember, speaking of crows, we talked about a while back about how they're smarter than you think. Mm-hmm. Do you remember me mentioning the Dick Cheney mask or something?
Right. Yep.
We had a whole... They learned to recognize streetlights and stuff like that. So I don't really imagine you're outsmarting the crow with a scarecrow. But I do think, you know, hey, if the rabbit comes by and he sees somebody standing in there, maybe last season you always wore a certain sweatshirt,
I have had some issues with my Ducks getting snatched up by Hawks.
Okay.
And I put the scarecrow in the thing, and I move it around occasionally, which I don't know if that's doing it. I also, my wife went and got some CDs and, you know, glued them back to back so that they're shiny on both sides and hung them up from a string. And, you know, they spin around and the sun reflects off them, and their little, you know, lights moving around out there. And supposedly that's supposed to keep them away. Put right. up hawk netting. I don't know which one of those things is the most effective, but I haven't had any hawks snatching up my stuff lately.
That's one thing that I've found to be a thing is I have put the netting over like my cherry trees. I don't have them now. I had them in New York. I also had blueberry bushes with the netting, do a good job with that. So that, you know, that kind of stuff can help. I know with berries, it really makes a big difference, you know?
Yeah. I've never seen
it in and destroy it. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen a deer in my backyard until I planted my most recent apple tree. And I woke up early in the morning and I saw his ass out there just fucking it up.
You know,
and I netted it up and he didn't come back, but I don't know if he was just, you know,
right.
It was a one-time thing or what.
It was funny. One of the first times I was like, oh, the deer keep getting all my apples, you know, whatever. And then I come driving home from work and I'm like, what the hell is that in my apple tree? And it was the damn squirrels getting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're like, you know, when they're like maybe half dollar size.
Right. Before they're like even that, ripe. Yeah.
They're in there snatching them up. And I'm like, you little bastard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I've done, made a berry patch where I just took a bunch of, instead of 2x4s, they sell like 2x2s and they're just a little cheaper, whatever. I made a little frame with a screen door and covered it with chicken wire. And I just did like an 8-foot box, you know, and put that right over the berries and the berries. Another way you might want to go with that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as far as that the fencing and the netting and all that stuff goes, that's really more for like the bigger animals, you know, the deer, the woodchucks, the rabbits, the, you know, even mice and rats will get in there and eat your stuff. So we're talking about, you know, motion activated lights and things like that. Have you tried any of that ultrasonic pest repellent stuff where it's like a high pitched noise that people can't hear? And
I have not personally used anything like that. I see them all over, and you know, they talk about all the different critters, all the mice, and they have the ones you can plug into your house for the mice and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I tried that and I didn't have any success. I don't know if it, you know, I don't know if it works for just like, you know, a week and then they get used to it and get tired of it or what, but it didn't work for me. You know, no. I tried it. It was not really effective.
No, I know
not a good long-term plan.
You have not exactly in the garden, but you have experience with squirrels getting in your house.
And oh yeah. I had squirrels. Hang on,
let me tell you. So I had squirrels in my roof the other day. And we woke up to some kind of like squeaking, screeching kind of mom and baby squirrel noises is what we attributed to in my roof. And they were going nonstop, you know, and we were hearing it for quite a bit. And so anyway, in the morning, I'm like, I got to get something. I got to figure this out. But the problem is they're inside the wall, you know? So I'm like, somebody, you're painting my ass.
right. They get in there, man.
What it is there was, I don't know if it was rainwater or possibly squirrels, whatever, but somehow underneath the overhang of my front porch, there was a little rotten square of like the plywood kind of rotted out. Like the bottom of the roof is plywood. And it was probably maybe 1 inch by 2 inches in this little corner where I, you know, water was dripping through, or I don't really know what caused it. But bottom line, I go out and I assume that's where he's getting in, because I just could not find anywhere else, you know, that it could be going on. So I went to Tractor Supply, and they had some kind of little potpourri baggie that is supposed to be kind of horrible smelling to rodents. And it was kind of horrible smelling to me. So I kind of like see that maybe they were on to something.
Yeah, but you know, mice and rats, they seem to go after, they don't seem to mind a whole lot.
I put this thing in there, and babies and all, we never heard another noise out of there.
Oh, really? So it worked.
I'm like, whatever, I'll take the win.
Now, yeah, because you know, you don't want to just patch the hole and then they're trapped up there and they're
That's what I was afraid of. I was like, I can fix this, but I'm like, then I got dead babies and dead mama in there, and that's not going to be good. Now, you went a different way. You went with like mouse poison to get rid of your squirrels.
Yes, and it worked.
And what happened?
they were dead.
Do you have a little more to this story? Or
yes, so a squirrel, well. This was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
My son calls me from my other room, from his bedroom. He says, "Dad, there's a mouse in my bed." So I go in there, and he was in there, and he said, "It's under my blanket." So I lifted his blanket up, and there's a baby squirrel under his blanket. So I had to go get like a container or something, right? And I just pinned it over top of the blanket, and then slid the blanket out and slid a lid underneath it. And got rid of them. But there's another scenario that also was terrible, because that baby died. You know, it ate the poison and it was done.
Wasn't in a good way. All right.
But I set up a trap outside where they're coming in and going out. But you have to check those traps every day.
You know, when you get a trapping license in New York, you know, you're fired. Within 24 hours.
Yeah,
every
see, but here's the day, thing. I didn't time. Have a license, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, all
it's
right.
It's all fine.
You're good. Yeah.
But, you know, if you trap like a squirrel or something, and like in those live traps.
Well, and that's it. You were using a live trap, so you were good without a license, probably.
Right. You just starved to death in there or died from dehydration or something. I
mean, you're the victim, really.
But, you know, you can't move those things more than like 5 miles or something. You're not supposed to move those. Like if you catch a squirrel or a woodchuck, there's only a certain amount, and it's different states and counties. But you're only allowed to take them so far away. And where I'm at, the place that's far, you know, as far as I can take it is like 500 yards. So it's just going to come right back. It's not, you know, it's not doing me any good. All right. Now, moving on from killing squirrels and being an asshole in general.
All right.
What about, let's talk about, there's some other things that you can do, like barriers. We were talking about that earlier. You know, an offense is a type of barrier.
Yeah.
But, you know, also raised garden beds will prevent things like slugs and some smaller stuff from getting in there. Obviously, there's a lot of flying insects that like to eat your vegetables, but there's a lot of crawly things too.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff you can kind of do for that aside of just raised beds. Diatomaceous earth. Have you ever used that?
Diatomaceous earth. Yes, definitely. So that's supposed to be great with any kind of hard shell creatures such as ants.
Right.
You know, a lot of your, I don't know, like cockroach type bugs, beetles, whatever, any of that kind of stuff. It seems to be pretty good. I guess the idea is it's very fine. So it kind of seals in the openings, and it makes it so they become dehydrated because they can't absorb moisture, is my understanding of how that works.
Right. Now I've had some pretty good experience. I mean, it's more something that I will put around like the foundation of my house to keep bugs out of the house. You know, I don't know if it would work really well around a garden. I mean, just with the rain and stuff like that, I feel like it, you know, you can lay a layer out in the lawn, you know, 6 inches wide all the way around, and a few rains later and it's gone. I'm not really sure. I've never tried it with the garden.
Right.
But there's also other things that you can use as barriers, like mulch. You know, you put mulch around a tree that you planted and it keeps the moisture in, and it's good for a lot of stuff like that. But it also is a barrier. You know, small crawly bug isn't necessarily going to just march across the, you know, the huge expanse of the 2 feet of mulch that you have between the you know, the lawn and the plants. But that's really more something I would use for like fruit trees and that sort of stuff. It's good in your garden beds, but you know, it can be a lot of work to keep up with the mulch in your, you know, in your beds around every one of your plants, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Now you mentioned fruit trees and stuff. I know in New York, one of the things people suggested, and I had moderate success with it, was hanging little bells on the branches.
Mm-hmm.
Because what would happen is when the deer would come over and start chewing on it, it would move the branches and the little bells would ring. And it was okay. It did deter them some.
Right.
You'd still get like the tips of it. You know, you'd get some bites and then
stuff would nibble off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I followed that up. I know you guys maybe heard me mention it in the past, but planting garlic around the base of my fruit trees, I did excellent. That really helped protect the apple trees and really was productive.
Right, right. You know, and anything that you can have as a, you had actually told me about the garlic, and I am planning on planting it around my apple trees this year. We'll see how it works. Thinking. But
Yeah.
But other things that are, you know, not necessarily normally something you would think of, but you can do stuff like stone, you know, like setting stone around your garden beds,
okay.
Gravel, things like that. Things that aren't organic around your bed, that'll just be a barrier for things that, you know, things that crawl. Slugs aren't really wanting to, you know, slide across 3 feet of gravel and you know, sidewalk or anything like that. That sort of stuff is a little bit of a deterrent, but once they get in there, then they're trapped in there. They're going to be in there, you know?
Yeah.
What else do you want to talk about? Some plants?
Another way I looked at this was you can also kind of learn to make peace with your garden, right? With nature. And where you coexist, if you will. You know, think like the hippies, right? Where you just live and let live. One, people plant enough that it's not really going to be a problem. You're in New York. I know you're surrounded by cornfields. What they usually do is they'll put different corn on the outer edges. One, to keep people from snatching corn up for free because it's not the same, you know? And
right.
Then they'll be like, oh, that's not really what I wanted, and they maybe don't come back. But two, you kind of go with that for the animals, and then inside you'll have, you know, the stuff that really...
the better quality stuff.
The better quality stuff, you know? So that's one way to go. You know, there's a lot of plants that, one, if you plant native plants, you're way more likely to be kind of pest-free. You know, it's going to be resilient to your local bugs and that kind of thing, because these are the plants that are native and grow naturally and grow wild in your area. So those would be really cool. Another thing, both peppermint is a great one for deterring a lot of different pests. It's also, you could use like peppermint oil and put that out there, you know, to kind of, again, you run the issue of rain and all that, but it definitely can deter. I know it's good with mice. There's actually some insects that it's a good deterrent. What kind of plants were you thinking? What would really be good that would?
Well, one that I use is lemon balm, and that kind of keeps them away. It works. You know, other things that work are like, rosemary, basil, thyme. You have to be careful. Oregano is also, but you have to be careful with those, you know, because they can take over fast. You know what I mean? I planted one in the corner of a garden bed 1 year, and 3 years later, I couldn't even fit anything else in that garden bed. It had taken over the whole thing. So I had to ended up ripping all of it out by the roots and starting over again. Some of that stuff is aggressive. Mint's the same way. It's really aggressive. So you have to be careful where you plant it. You don't want to think, oh, I'll just put a little mint bit in here in this corner, right, and it'll be fine. You have to really have it sectioned off, you know what I mean? Separate from your vegetables, because it will really take over your whole garden if you're not careful with it.
Yeah, but definitely, you know, planting some to share with the animals really isn't the way that I would go, but it's maybe, you know.
Some of those goddamn, you know, those damn hippies are ruining everything about gardening. You know what I mean?
You know, it's funny.
I had this lady.
Go ahead.
Tell me about, she's telling me about all these organic things that she makes for, one of them was like a bug spray that you use on, like, you know, to keep mosquitoes away. Didn't work for shit. That organic stuff doesn't work. They still haven't figured it out. Somebody had me grinding up hot peppers with water and putting them in a spray bottle and spraying it on the plants because supposedly
do, right?
I tried both. You know what I mean? It didn't work either time. You know?
I'm gonna drop an organic solution on you right now. I'm gonna give you a good one.
You're gonna come at me with some hippie shit. I don't want to hear
it's
about
hippie shit. Here it is. So they make a chicken run that people set up around their garden so the bugs kind of can't get in. So
the idea is
walk around. And they eat everything that kind of hits the barrier or the border of your garden. And it kind of takes it to the next level.
That seems preposterous. if you're just listening like to this, you should have seen the picture that Chuck had showed.
Think some folded chicken wire where you just your chickens walk around the outer edge of your garden and they just eat all the bad things. A lot of people have told me about ducks that'll come in and like eat the slugs off the tomato plant.
Ducks are real good at slugs. I have ducks caterpillars, slugs. They don't stand a chance with these guys, man. No. They spot every little one of them.
I like it.
But, you know, they're not great at insects. You know, chickens are a lot better at the smaller insects, you know.
I got to say my yard was full of ticks and stuff when I bought the property. And now we've got like 35 chickens out there, and there's no ticks to be found.
They're just feasting out there every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Guinea hens are really good for that too, but they're super annoying. I don't know if you've had guinea hens, but they make this ridiculous sound. And every morning I was waking up and just wanted to kill these guinea hens. And the foxes took care of them eventually, and I never replaced them. They were great at cleaning up bugs, but I hated them. I couldn't stand these things. They're so loud and obnoxious.
You were like, you know what? I'd rather have the bugs, right?
Yeah, I'd rather have the bugs. Now, another one is marigolds. That's another plant that...
Wife always has marigolds growing in the garden.
Yeah, I've got marigolds around all my stuff. I don't know if it works or not. But, I mean, between the fencing and the raised beds the marigolds and the chives and the thyme and all that sort of stuff. I'm not sure what's actually working and what isn't working, what's a waste of time. But I have a pretty good, you know, I don't usually have problems with bugs or I did have some problems with woodchucks. But I got this, my wife got this dog, this little mutt, and it's like half Chihuahua and half like, I don't know what it is. It's all like fluffy though, and it's I don't know, I didn't like it at all.
Dog.
I tell you what, it's been fucking up some groundhogs, man. Those woodchucks, they don't stand a chance. I don't know, I guess in the Northeast it's woodchucks, it's not hedgehogs or groundhogs, it's woodchucks. And she came out, she went down in one of the burrows and came up, and she was chewing up like a baby woodchuck, like just a nasty little animal when it comes to that stuff, man. She has no patience for woodchucks, man. She's been fucking up left and right. So you know, she earned her keep. I might not like her, you know, she's a cute little fluffy dog, but
right.
She's been taking care of business, so I can't complain.
Now, I would also point out, you know, some of your furry predators out there, like you said, the Chihuahua was a great additive. I guess they're kind of bred for that kind of thing. That or Taco Bell commercials. I'm not really sure what, but another solution that you could use is Stag Arms makes an excellent rifle off the AR-15 platform called the Stag Varmiter. And I gotta say, it's pretty effective. I know many a groundhog that met his end in New York that, you know, hey, sometimes.
Yeah, it doesn't take much. A good pellet gun will take care of a groundhog or woodchuck. Well, maybe not a wood. I've taken out rabbits. Rabbits and squirrels.
Rabbits.
I don't know about
squirrels.
I haven't shot a.
Yeah, no. 22 and the.
22
and the groundhog. It took either really good shots or several shots in order to put down a groundhog. Again, you go to the AR Varmiter, then hopefully one shot. But I was at the end. I was able to be pretty consistent with the 22 and not have a problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, but you would spot them out of your house, right?
Yeah.
And your house and your garden weren't that close together.
No.
You know, you'd have to really take time. And
they were watching, though. They'd know, like, if I came out the same door twice, they'd be like, yep, I knew where you were coming from. And they'd be watching. Mm. You got to sneak around the back of the house and then, you know.
All right.
Oh, didn't see you there. You know, or maybe I'm on the first floor. Maybe I'm laying on the second floor kitchen table.
Huh? Yeah, I don't. I feel like I remember a story about that and your wife not being so happy that you're shooting it out of the kitchen window or something.
That's what I say. Do you want groundhogs in the garden or do you not want groundhogs in the garden?
Now, what do you think? Have you ever eaten a groundhog?
Have I ever eaten a groundhog? That sounds horrible. I've heard of other people doing it.
Yeah, they say it's really good because it's a vegetarian, but I don't know, dude. I don't know if I'd even want to try that out.
So what I'm told is that a lot of the leaner meats, you end up wanting to take like a possum or something like that and mix it in, and it gives you that the oily end and then the leaner stuff together, you know, with the fat, you end up getting the happy mix. But I'm not really sure that's the life I want to choose for me and my family. I will say some of the bunnies made it to freezer camp this week.
Oh, nice. Nice.
That's exciting news. They're there. They haven't made it to the fridge. I'm kind of working all the time and I haven't been able to be home for dinner.
So they haven't made it to the kitchen table yet, but
not
they're
to the table, but in the freezer.
All right, well, that's something, man.
I weighed it after I cleaned it, and I think we're sitting around 5 pounds for the first one. So
all right, that's not bad.
That's something. Yeah, that's 5 pounds is a fair amount of meat, you know.
That's at least two dinners. You only got, what do you have, 4 people at the house now?
4 people.
I mean, a quarter pounder should be sufficient, you know, breaking it up. You got a good couple of days of food there, man.
Yeah.
Now, before we wrap things up, I wanted to talk about pesticides.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people don't like it. In my opinion about the organic pesticides, as I've expressed that already.
It's the organic don't
Not
work.
A fan. Yeah. One that I used a lot directly on plants, I have a grapevine that is just bombarded with Japanese beetles every year.
Yes.
And that 7, I just would go through and spot them and spray them where I saw them, you know? And lasted a few days, and it took them right out. Like, they just drop off the plant, and that was it.
Yeah.
They were
well,
done.
That's it. So Japanese beetles are the grubs that you see in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you notice, you have moles or voles, the little you know, long, creepy, blind mouse looking things you got going in the yard. The only reason you have those is because you have grubs. And the grubs are the Japanese beetles. And that's what you need to get rid of. So one of the big things people use for that is that milky spore. And I believe that does work. We were reluctant to try it. We had a lot of Japanese beetles in New York, and honestly, I have a fair amount of grubs and moles and, you know, things out in the yard here. But we were reluctant to do it. It's supposed to be bad with garlic. Like if you're growing garlic, it's actually bad for it to use that milky spore stuff.
Oh, yeah. So
something you might want to look into.
It's not a good match.
An option you were going to look for. Yeah. But who knows?
All right. So another one that I use is Spectracide Trazicide.
Oh.
Now, that's one of those ones that you...
Is that Roundup? I mean, I don't even know. I don't know what this stuff is.
Yeah, it basically is. Basically, you hook it up to your hose and you would spray down like your lawn and stuff like that. I used it a few times and it really did work. Like I used it a few times when I was having people over to the house and there are no mosquitoes around for like weeks afterwards. And it's supposed to like break down within like 4 hours of spraying it. So it kills everything and then, you know, and then it, you know, then it goes away. But, you know, with the chickens and the ducks and the dogs and the everything, I stopped using that. You know what I mean? It's right. Just, I'm not sure how much I trust their, you know, that it's safe after 4 hours or not. I'm not sure I'm really buying into that stuff. So we'll see how it goes. But I've stopped using it now. Also, another thing is that with the pesticides, you want to be conscientious because there are like positive yes. microbes and bugs you want to have in your in your garden. So you don't want to just, you know, massacre everything. And that's kind of what those things do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's funny. We watched, you know, when we first got into the whole farming gardening thing, we watched a lot of those hippie documentaries about, you know, the soil and the earth and, you know, all these things about, you know, what you can do for your farm. Right. And one of the things they said was that, you know, a guy's like, look, I tried, they've done all these studies about comparing, you know, your Monsanto kind of Roundup growing versus your organic. And the deal was for like the first 5 years of growing, the Roundup wins like every time.
Right. You know,
they get way better yields and everything works out. But then the guys who were consistently organic, once you get past about the eighth year, they're really destroying the ground with the Roundup, you know, by killing, right, like you said, the microbes and the small little things, that the organic farm was a more consistent and better producer. And you, right, actually end up winning out if you make it through like 8 years by doing it organically.
Yeah. Long term, if you're in one spot, long term, organic is definitely a better way to go. And you can do a lot more. You can do a lot more with that. Like rotating your crops, you know, not growing the same thing in the same place every year. Another thing that I did was I have a big patch of asparagus, and year after year, certain asparagus beetles would show up. You know what I mean? And they'd plant eggs, and then they'd hatch the next year, and I'd have asparagus beetles, and you know, but what I would start, and you can't really move asparagus. It's not, you know, it's a plant that grows in the same spot every year. You know, it takes a few years for it to actually get big enough that you can trim it. And so what I started doing was just chopping everything down in the bed and burning it at the end of the year. And that seems like it works pretty good. Just burning up the top half. Yeah. I mean, obviously I'm starting a big fire in a garden bed. You want to be careful. You want to have the hose ready in case, you know, in case it starts jumping. But you know, that worked pretty well, but it's the best if you can with whatever plants you're planting, the best thing to do is just kind of keep a rotation going so that the same insects that are feeding off of that particular plant aren't, you know, showing up year after year, laying the same eggs in the same place.
Right. No, that's it. And, you know, it's just good habit, good practice to rotate things and kind of work them through. But, you know, hey, I mean, we do the big thing. I have like a lot of oak trees in my yard. And I, you know, we rake up all the leaves and scoop it up and throw it in the big garden. And every year you're throwing all kinds of new bugs and new life in there, you know, and mixing things up. So it works out pretty good. You know, but that's the thing. There's always something. And as far as when the shit hits the fan and you need to keep the people out of your garden, you're going to have to put an all-night watch. Maybe some tripwires, just saying.
What about the scary eyes? What about the solar powered scary eyes?
Scary eyes could be the one for you. So you got to keep your options open. But I would say definitely time to start thinking about the big garden. Now is the time to get in on ordering your seeds and that kind of stuff if you haven't already.
Right.
Because this is the time when they're all available. When you wait, they might not even be available now. I don't really know. I haven't. Any idea? The wife handles all that. I just say, you know, take care of it.
Yeah, I was planning on planting garlic 2 years ago. And when it came time, I couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have since located it, obviously, but, you know, no good. No good when it, you know, when you go out there and it's springtime and you run out to Home Depot or wherever you go for your seeds, they might not have what you're specifically looking for. It can be hard to find it, especially if you get there a little bit later than everybody else, you know?
That's it. So we just wanted to be a little preemptive, get you guys, you know, on the upside, you know, prepping the whole thing. You're supposed to be the guy ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. And we thought we'd get in there, get you out early, get the stuff going. Because once you start formulating in your mind a plan and get things ready, it's a whole lot easier to just jump in
obviously it's a little bit late for this comment, but I try and get, you know, in the middle to end of fall, I try and get my new garden beds, any new ones I'm setting up, anything like that, get it ready, because when spring comes, you're not going to have enough time to go out and build a bed and get the dirt, the compost and all the stuff you need to do. You kind of want to do that in fall and get everything set up for the next spring.
Well, you know, the upside a little bit of planning ahead. These out all year long and pick out the episode that's appropriate to them. And you're going to hit the right guy at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So I say good things. That's what I'd say. So anyway, we appreciate if you guys like and subscribe, you know, to the podcast, the YouTube channel, all that. Really helps us out. Helps us out if you share it. You have an episode that you really love, maybe send it over to a friend. Have them check it out. You enjoy it, maybe leave a comment and leave a review wherever you download the podcast.
Yeah, so I was actually looking through the reviews. Well, we're talking about that real quick.
Should I be upset?
There's not a whole lot. There's not a whole lot. And it's actually hard to find reviews on all the different platforms.
It is.
But I do find, like, if I'm ever feeling, like, full of myself or,
like, they know how to cocky put you back or something like that,
I'll go through the – I just skip through – there's a bunch of, like, five-star reviews. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's good. That's great, you know? But I skip right past those. I always go to the one- and two-star reviews and read up on it, and I'm like, hey, yeah, the audio is kind of shitty. You say you know a lot. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
You look like a fucking retard. Yep.
Everybody watching this is going to be like, you know what? I'm going to leave a 2-star review because then
Kevin will actually read it.
Right.
Yeah.
What you need to do is leave a 5-star and then still say that Kevin looks like shit.
Yeah, that's fun. That's great.
And has whatever now, bad audio.
We do have like
bad when you watch the video. Whatever. Yeah,
it's like 4.5 is our average.
All right.
But I've noticed that, like, if I ever see a 5-star rating for a podcast, it's all bullshit. It's terrible. It's a terrible show.
$20 on Fiverr to get those reviews.
If it's a 3-star review standard, it's trash. And if it's a 5-star standard, it's trash. That, you know, somebody had somebody create a bunch of different, you know, different names and leave a whole bunch of 5-star reviews and get that bullshit rating. But whatever. I try not to pay attention to that too much.
Yep. So anyway, I would say I appreciate it. And like I said, hit that like button. It helps out. Anyway, with that, stay safe, and we will talk to you guys next week.